Welcome to Detailed Drummer. My name is João Vaz, and today I'm going to be talking with Horacio El Negro. He's a Cuban drummer, and he played with names such as Dizzy Gillespie, Gonzalo Rubalcaba, Michel Camilo, and Carlos Santana. So you were saying about like the difference of not being able now to play live, and because you've been doing this for 30 years now, so how did that change like your approach or your mental state?
Well, I think whoever, oh my God, let me get for whoever manage to be focused and use all this crazy time to get better. I see it on the internet that it's thousands of better musicians, thousands and thousands. It's a million great musicians now, you know. So I'm pretty sure that COVID is one of the causes of what, because everybody had, we had the time.
Yeah, true. Even if you didn't develop your skills, let's say musical skills, you could develop other parts of your music set, like, you know, promotion and know how to, you know, export your work or make your work more visible. So it's
so you guys are more into those things that people of my generation are doing. I mean, I do a little bit. I post things on Instagram, but that's all I do.
Yeah. Yeah. You care more about the old way to, you know, just the music, not the exposure.
Yeah, of course. I think I'm pretty into against somebody doing everything,
yeah.
Playing the writing the song, producing the song, playing the drums, contacting. I don't know the words. You know what I mean? Contacting managers. No.
Yeah.
It's mean that to just to play an instrument well.
And that was enough.
You need time. You need a lot of time. I need a lot of time for that. I mean, yeah. I cannot use that time in being on the phone. As a matter of fact, I never had a phone. I had a phone like a year ago when COVID started. I got my first phone, my very first phone.
Really?
Yeah. I was traveling the whole world with an iPad and, of course, connected to the internet, but not with a phone that is constantly battling with whatever you have to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like attention and stuff.
People. What I have to do and what I like to do and love to do is to become a better musician and to use my time to to learn, to practice, you know, to learn music.
Yeah, to improve yourself. I've read on Drummer World that when you were 13, you were arrested because you're playing covers from Cream. And I wanted you, if you could, like, just to explain a little bit more about that story, because I found it funny now, you know, but at the time, because all the political stuff and it was illegal to listen to U.S. songs and all that. And I just wanted you to explain what happened at the time.
Well, we were kids, you know, and we were kind of rebel kids, free kids. And that was it. We were playing the music of the enemy. And it was actually going to be my first gig with that band. That was the most popular underground band. And that was it. Police came and we all were arrested.
Everybody. And did you stay like in the police station for a while, or it was just like they just took you there and then?
I was in a serious, not a police station, you know.
Oh, really?
In the place where the people that attempt against the country and things like that. I was there for 2 weeks. It was not fun. But I was 13 years old. I was 13.
So yeah, you were really young. Different.
Yeah, I saw all of that in a very different way. It was like, it was an experience. It was an amazing experience that I think it's, I would love to have it again. If I am born again, I would love to, something like that happen to me when I'm 13 again. So I learned something from me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean the incredible things that happen in my life is that with that band we were playing a song by Jack Bruce. I hope you know who it is. Jack Bruce, you know, Ginger Baker, Jack Bruce, Eric Clapton had a huge band named Cream. And when I was 13, we were playing one of their songs, one of Jack Bruce's songs. And then 35 years after, I found myself playing with Jack Bruce, you know, touring the whole world. I went to Manchester with Jack Bruce.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
It was a year to...
How is it for you, like, to... Because you started from... What I've seen, you at that time that you went to Italy as well as to be a teacher, and then you come back to you went to New York after that.
Well, I always wanted to go to New York. To go to New York was my
your goal. Yeah,
but unfortunately, because you know the immigration laws and bureaucracy and politicians and all that, those things. You cannot go anywhere you want in this planet. You have to, I don't know, you have to. First of all, you have to have the chance to be born in the United States, Europe, or Japan, or that's it. If you're not from, if you're from Latin America, it's very hard for you to get to anywhere, you know? So I had a chance when I decided to move from here. I decided I had the chance to get to Italy, and I lived 2.5 years in Rome, and those were two wonderful 2.5 years. As you said, I was teaching, but then I started to play with everybody. Another one of my crazy stories, I play at the of the Italian prime minister, and I was illegal. I didn't have documents, but I was playing the drums there.
that takes courage.
Many crazy things are happening in my life.
That's truly passion for what you do.
Yeah. Oh, that was all about. But you know, those 2.5 years in Italy, I had the great opportunity to practice the whole 2 years and a half. Those 2.5 years were the ones that built me to then go to New York and get inserted in the music scene of New York City.
How hard was for you then, like, arriving to New York at that time? And of course, like, with all those problems of being an immigrant and everything, how hard was for you to, you know, break through?
In the bureaucratic way, at that time it was a law in the United States that if you were Cuban, you got political asylum automatically. So it was really? Like, you know, yes, that was the very first thing. I gained a passport to be able to go all around the world. No? And then it was a party. It was a party. I had million friends already there. I was playing my last 10 years in Cuba. I was playing with Gonzalo Rubalcaba, with a band that Gonzalo had. And we toured the whole world with that band. And in those tours, I had the opportunity of meeting a million musicians. tons of great musicians. We were playing all the jazz festivals, you know, with many bands, Mead and Reed and stuff. So that was it. Going to New York, working. Yeah, that was it.
From all those gigs around the world and everything, I would like you to just pick, you know, like to give me an example of the best, not the best gig. When I say the best gig, is not the one that went better or the biggest one. It's like the one that you felt, you know, better on stage, and the one you were just wishing for the gig to end. If you have any story like that.
Oh, there are thousands of those. I mean, I felt good in a million gigs. Not only because the amount of people in the audience, I mean, I have played from 250,000 people as well as for 15 people.
Yeah.
And these 15 have been so great at the 250,000. So, and also bad gigs have been a lot of them. Lately have been less and less, because now you can find a very good drum set anywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's impossible to travel with a drum set. So we usually play the kits that are in the places. And believe me, the last century, let's call it like that, before the year 2000, you could find a Ludwig kit from 1955. With three locks missing in the bass drum, two in the bottom, snare head. I mean, forget it, I can't tell you. But still, the music always have the power to lift you, you know? And those things became like, I have to deal with this.
Kind of a challenge. You get to the venue and it's like, let's see what I'm working with.
Exactly. You know, it becomes a challenge for you, so you even enjoy it. I mean, when everything is perfect, it's a little bit boring, kind of.
Do you have that feeling when you were like touring for that, you know, like that at some point the gigs all look almost the same, or for you it's always, you know, you can always tell that it's a different crowd or a different place, you know, and you have that, because I've talked with some drummers that after a while, you know, on tour, it just looks like you're doing the same gig on repeat. And even though it's a different city, it just feels like the same thing.
Well, I don't even know if I had done a gig long enough to get bored. Yeah, I mean, it's not true, because I did this Gonzalo for 10 years. I did Michelle Camilo for 10 years. And
yeah, but maybe being on the jazz scene is more improv, so maybe that makes it different.
Exactly.
But I when mean, you played, for example, with Santana, or yeah, when you played like with artists like that, do you notice
Santana back then, it was a lot of improv. More improv than anyone. It was really? Like truly free rock. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a jam. It was a jam. Just a jam.
And guys to the band and say, you know, just band and say, you know, just let's just do these songs and the rest, let's just chill it. Like just enjoy it and jam it out. Would they like give you free will? Not free will, but free like
time. Yeah.
Give you the permission to just.
To fly. No. That's what Carlos wanted. He wanted you to go crazy. Oh, play, enjoy.
That's amazing when you play with an artist like that, that gives you like the freedom to put yourself as like your voice out there as well.
Yeah, and to ask to enjoy, you know what I mean? Have fun, enjoy, play. Yeah.
What would you like? I wanted to ask you because I'm curious about the Cuban music scene. I always loved like Cuban music, and I wanted to ask you from when you started. So when you started to have your first gigs in Cuba, how was the music scene, and how what's now, what's the difference? And do you think it evolved, it stayed the same, it's still like traditional? What's your opinion about it?
Here, this is a land of music, a total land of music. Here, when I was born, it was 1,000 great musicians. When I mean great musicians, it's musicians that have played all over the world, great. And now, I was laughing with a friend because I had thoughts. And yesterday, I told my friend, in Cuba, there are 10,000 great musicians. The only problem is that they are all Cubans.
But what do you mean with that?
What I meant that is a way of approach to music, it's a way of playing, it's a way of listening, it's a way of practicing. And I miss a place like New York City when you can play with a Vietnamese as well as a Moroccan or a British guy or a Japanese guy or people from all over the world. You know? And they have different approaches of music and you learn new things. You know, Turkish musicians, it's so
and
much.
Everyone music. Brings a different thing to the table.
Exactly. It's a lot of
that's the beauty. For me, it's the best thing in music, you know, it's just to be able to talk with people without talking with them.
Exactly.
No
matter where you're from, we're going to have a great time.
Yeah, just bring the music when we'll be together.
I miss that in Cuba. I said that here is a 10,000 great musicians. The only problem is that they are all Cubans. And another of my thoughts says that after you play at Carnegie Hall, the best that can happen to you is that you play again at Carnegie Hall.
That should be truly a honor to play there.
That's it.
It's true, yeah. It's amazing, how it took the world, you know, Cuban music and Latin music just took the world in all the different genres. You know, you have Latin rock, you have Latin jazz, you have all those different, and it's so strong and full of rhythm. What would you say, from all those rhythms and all traditional Latin music, what would you say it's like your favorite rhythm or the one that you just go for all of them?
They are all fun. They are all fun because they are mainly styles of music made for people dance. You know,
it's
all fun. Merengue, it's super salsa, it's fun. Even Latin jazz, that just takes away a little bit of the. It makes it a little bit maybe more intellectual. Even Latin jazz, you feel like you want to dance.
It's a bouncy kind of music, you know, it just makes you want to shake. And the thing is, I think as a drummer and as someone that is not, that doesn't have that culture, you know, every time I was trying to learn Latin rhythms or Afro-Cuban rhythms, I was also trying to learn how to dance them. That would help a lot because you can feel like the music with your body, and when that's happening, you lock in straight away because you know you're playing as you were dancing, and you don't want to rush or drag because you're in tune with your own dancing, kind of.
Right. Yeah. And then the other thing is that even if all the roots and the foundation, it all came from Africa. Mm-hmm. Here in Latin America, we have a million different cultures that they play different way.
Sure.
Maybe something that arrived the same way to both of us, we took it one way and they took it another way. And both of them are beautiful. So it's a lot to learn. Just in there, in Latin American rhythms and culture, is a lot.
In your future now, what's going on? Can you give us some surprises? Because you said something amazing is coming up, and if you could, I don't know if you can, just let us know.
Sure. I don't like to say things before they happen.
Right, jinx it. Yeah.
This is gonna be very true.
Okay, I get that. When you see this new generation of drummers and Cuban musicians, yeah. Do you have anyone that you now follow kinda or new artists that you would recommend that you say that are growing on the Cuban music?
On Cuban music?
Yeah. Or any other one, music. just someone that inspires you as well, but someone that is new.
Kind of. So many. You know, I don't know if they are still considering you, but I don't know, Mark Juliana.
Yeah, Mark
Juliana. What is the guy from the Drumheads, Chris Day. It's a lot of music out there, a lot of great music out there.
Do you go through your social media or you are because you said you didn't have a phone before, so are you really disconnected from the social media or are you trying to get in more and more?
No, now in Instagram I'm learning from all of them every day. I just wake up and put my post and watch what's happening. And we just scrolled twice. I already had some lessons.
That's amazing.
It's great.
Did you get feedback straight away as well? You know, because you have people saying oh, that's amazing, or I will try that, or and it's a way to connect us another way, and so we can be closer.
I do a very little. You know, you cannot practice with a phone in your head.
Yeah, true. It's a lot of logistics. It's amazing. I think I don't want to take more of your time because you're a busy man. And I just wanted to say you thank you so much for having this time just to share some of your stories with me. For me, you are an amazing inspiration, and I've seen you since I was starting my journey as well, and see you play at the time, and now talking with you, it's really cool.
Thank you very much
for this.
Thank you for your interview.
If you guys like the content and you want more interviews like this, please subscribe the channel, give us a like, and comment on the comments below with your feedback and some ideas that you might have. Also, if you have something to add or to say to us, just comment or email us. If you want to check more stuff about Horacio, just go to his social media, because now he's getting really active on Instagram.
And, El Negro Drums.
El Negro Drums. And yeah, that's it. Have a good day.